Welcome to the Faith Renewed podcast. I'm Pastor Terry Rogers, and I want to thank you for listening to this message. If you want to learn more about Faith Renewed, check us out online at faithrenewed.org. So for the first time in the decade of 2020 at 9 a.m., do this. Take your Bibles out and turn with me, if you would, to Titus chapter 2. Come on, amen. Titus chapter 2. And don't forget, YouVersion Bible app users, you can do both. You can set your Bible out and your mobile device out, or you can go to this later. And but the YouVersion app, we have a live event taking place, and I encourage you to just, if you would, you can flip over on that. More section, events, find Faith Renewed, and save and share this event. And but Titus chapter 2, verses 11 through 14. If you got it, say amen. Amen. If you're still looking, say, hang on. It's a new decade. All right. Let's do this. Let's read this together. Verse 11. For the grace of God. Amen. What better way to start a decade? And first of all, just for the grace of God. Amen. That brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in the present age. And this is what we should do while we're doing that. Verse 13, looking for the blessed hope. Come on, man. The blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself his own special people, zealous for good works. Amen. Just a few weeks ago, we talked about his name is Emmanuel, and that God came from heaven to earth to be with us. And how many knows, we're looking at verse 13, how many knows he's going to come again? Come on, man. He's going to come again. And it's a blessed hope. And I love it. There's going to be a hope that comes when he returns, but there's a hope that's available right now. Amen. Can we pray and talk to Daddy together? God, thank you so much for bringing us together in this room today. God, I thank you for each person who's here this gathered. Lord, I thank you for each person who's tuned in today through live stream, God, through media and other areas of this world. God, I pray you'll bless them and open their hearts today, God. Those who may be listening to this podcast, maybe at a different moment in time, God, your word is timeless. And God, you're not bound by space or time. So Lord, today we just release your word of hope. Lord, we release your word of life today, God, into this house. And we give you thanks for it today, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Amen, 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 amen. Happy New Year. Come on, happy new year. Amen. How many knows, man? It's an exciting time as we enter into a new year, new decade. Tell your neighbor, this decade looks good on you. Come on, tell them. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Let them know, man. This decade, God, looks good on you, man. I love it, man. It is an incredible, exciting time, man. It's a new year, a new decade. It's like January the 5th. By show of hands, how many have already broken your New Year's resolution? It's okay. It's all right. There's grace. Remember, I just read about grace. It's all right. It's gonna be like, man, 5 days in, I done broke this thing. All right. It's okay. Listen. There's grace for you. There's hope available for you this morning, man. And I love it. It's okay, man. We're not through. But, man, it is a new time. And I love where we're at, man. As we enter into a new decade, man, 2020. I love it. And for me, I'm going into, and this is going to be hard to believe for those who kind of went through this journey with us and who have heard about it. I'm entering into today, January 2020, more excited than I entered into January 2010. Now, that's 10 years later, man, and it's wild. And if you were with us, or if you've heard the backstories maybe of kind of like what got us to January of 2020, man, it is a very cool story. I love it. God called us to plant this church, and he put this in our heart, gave us a vision and a call to plant Faith Renewed, and we planted it in 07. And the first 3 years of ministry, we met in a movie theater. And I tell you, how many knows you can have church in a movie theater? Amen. They were showing a movie, and then the next day we come up in the house, man, and prayed out every bad spirit, released the glory of the Lord in the house, man. People got saved, healed, set free. Oh. It was incredible, man. I love it. Smell of burnt butter popcorn in the background. True story. True story. I mean, I used to go through, man. Some people think I have some weird quirks, man. But, you know, I used to go through every Sunday morning, double fisting Renews It spray and Glade air fresheners through the whole theater, man, and just breaking it down, trying to get rid of that popcorn smell. You know, again, it's good when it's hot and fresh. It's not the next day. I promise. But we thought, we were like, man, 2007, man, God said plant this house. And we're like, man, we're going to go into this thing, man. I was hopeful. I was pumped. I was excited. I'm like, we're going to go like have a church in a movie theater for like 6 months or so. And then like, man, God's going to give us a place. And man, we're going to go have church there. And we know, man, we've learned this, still know it. Church is not a building. Come on, man. It's the people within it, man. And church is something within our hearts that we go out and live every day. I love it. And so it's what we do. It's who we are. And but we were like, man, 6 months in, man, we're going to get a building. It's going to be awesome. And 6 months later, we were still setting up. I was still spraying Glade. Year later, 2 years later, spraying Glade, man, setting up. I'm going, man, come on, Jesus. But it was like, happened. Then in 2009, as we got ready to end that year, we were in a place and God opened up a door and a facility that we're in today. And we had, this is pretty cool, our very first service in this facility in the very first Sunday of January 2010, a decade ago. 10 years ago today. Come on, amen. Come on. Ain't that cool? I love it. I love it, man. It's just exciting. So you got to think for just a moment. When I say like I'm happier going into 2020 than I was going into 2010, you don't understand, man, because I was happy going into 2010. I wasn't spraying Glade anymore, man. I wasn't having to just smell those things. It was like, man, this is awesome. We can walk in and just have church. And it's like, man, this is like awesome. And I was excited. But it was like, man, there was a lot of stuff that went on to get us to that place. We were looking and said in the end of 2009 and we were trying to find a facility. We were trying to get a bank to like give us some money. Now you gotta understand, like in 2009, the market was ugly, brutal. Some of you may remember that. We had been doing this thing for like 3 years and I was trying to tell the banks, I was like, man, you can trust us. I promise, man, you're good people. We love Jesus, man. We'll pay it back, man. Give us some money, man. We want to get a place where we can just like have church and have Freedom Ministries and have Wednesday night service and have places to pray, have places to gather. I mean, you give us some money. Nobody. It was wild. It was crazy. I went to, me and Jonathan were talking about this, discussing it. It was like, I believe we had conversations with like 15 to 16 different banks. Before we finally found a bank that would say, okay, we're going to give you some of it. The true story. I went into the bank, finally sat down and talked to them. Again, because of the economy at the time, where we were at, because of the giving units that were in that, you know, at that time of where we were at as a church, because of the price. The facility itself was worth far more than what we were actually paying for the facility. But because of where the time was at, they wouldn't give us the money that we needed. And so they were said, you got to find out. So they would come up, I believe, like $100,000 short on where we were at. So I did something that at that time I did, you know, again, I don't do it. I don't believe in, don't typically, you know, encourage people to work this way. But we had to take a second mortgage. And we did that. The owner himself gave us a second mortgage for $100,000 so that we could get the facility. You know, and so again, I'm not excited about going that, but when God tells you to do something, you do what he says. Amen. You know, again, as we look for new places, we continue to move forward. We do it when he says do it, you know, and not until then. So until we have clarity, but we knew what God was saying in that moment. And it was exciting because again, he told us to step out and to do this. And it was cool. So I'm looking back. I'm like, man, going into this place, I'm like pumped up, excited. 2010, we got a place. It was cool. We've seen God do like some stuff in a decade. I mean, some stuff in a decade. It's wild. I mean, coming into this place, again, couldn't get enough money from the bank to even buy the place. In 9 years, and we paid off that second mortgage. Not a second mortgage, only. We paid off the facility as a whole. Come on, amen, this past year. And so it was incredible. We just got it, and I've got this now. We actually have the physical promissory note that we signed that they gave us. We were like, okay, we'll sign that. And you give us the money, and like, we're going to pay it back. And we're like, okay, well, you're going to sign this paper, and if you don't pay it back, you've signed this paper, we're going to come get you a building. I mean, that's how it works. But man, I tell you, we actually have the physical papers now to move forward. And so again, I'm like, man, this is exciting. I want you to understand some things about the story that I just told, why the excitement is built in my heart, and why I believe, again, God's doing great things in this moment. Because the hope today is greater than it ever was then. Why is that? Because I've gotten to know him a little bit better. Not because, again, the bill got paid or this happened. Again, as we continue to move into what God asked, I've just gotten to know him more. And I promise you, this is what happens for us. As we get to know him more, hope will rise up in your heart. And I love it, man. We're entering this decade, and we left the last one, and we go into the next one, learning about his name and what that means, what that represents. And we learned just 2 weeks ago that, man, his name is Emmanuel, that God is with us. He came to be with us. Or if last week we learned that, man, his name is Jesus and all that covers that name. And we're going to begin to, again, break down some of those names. And today what I want us to zero in and, like, focus in on and, like, look hard at is this today, that, man, that his name is hope. Love it, man. Have you ever, like, been in a hopeless situation where it felt like, man, there's just no way out of this, man? We're like, you're gonna have to spray Glade for the rest of your life because everything around you stinks. Come on, somebody. Amen. And like, from now on, man, I'm about to smell this for the rest. I'm about to deal with this thing from now on, man. Listen, there's hope that's available. And I love this, man. It's in those moments of hopelessness that some of you maybe today, like, you're going into this like with some type of anticipation and expectation, but like somewhere in the background, it's like, man, I don't have hope. Listen, it's in those moments that God can shine the brightest. I love what Charles Spurgeon said. He said this: hope itself is like a star, not to be seen in the sunshine of prosperity and only to be discovered in the night of adversity. Think about it for a moment, man. It's in those moments of darkness, man, that hope can shine through the brightest, and I love it. And when I say hope today, I hope this kind of just builds for you a better understanding of the word. And because I think it's one of those things that we kind of toss out in our English word that we use sometimes, and I think sometimes maybe it gets overused, misused, and we just kind of lay it out there like, I hope my team wins the game. You know what I'm talking about? I hope Clemson puts it on them, you know, like this time. I mean, we just hope that this happens. I hope it don't rain, and we throw it out there, you know, whatever, but just somewhere in the background, we use that word, I believe, not realizing the power that's behind it. So I want to do this morning. We're going to look at some things, and I don't know, I just hope this rises up in your heart, man, and you get this, and I believe you're going to. A few things about hope. The number one thing is this, is that hope is this. Hope is living. Do you see this? Hope is living. This is so cool. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 says this: blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope. Come on, hear that? This has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you. Now, this is a hope that for today, again, I'm speaking of, that is living within us. This is a hope that is so real. And this is what the resurrection does for us. And this is what I hope that you don't get just in this year, that you don't just see hope, man. Like, he's going to give me hope for 2020 and it's going to be okay. No, listen, the resurrection brings hope not just for 2020. The resurrection brings hope for a new life. It brings hope for us to step into victory, to a place we've never been in. So this is what hope is. It is living, and it is active, and it is not a feeling. You've got to, and we have to be able to at some point come to the place where we embrace that the hope that God is and who he is, it's not a feeling that I have, but it's a person that I know. And so this is something that is so true and real for us, and it is so beautiful. And this is not a just like this little thing, we're like, I hope maybe one day I'm going to get to heaven. No, this is something living, and it's something real, and it's something that is true. And so this is in Christ, in the resurrection, in the new life that comes from him, we have hope today. And so this is what happens when he got on the cross, gave his life for us. Gave his life for us. No man took it. Laid it down. He gave his life. When he resurrected on the third day, living hope came forth out of the tomb. Living hope came forth. And this is the truth. He died once. He won't do it again. Amen. He doesn't have to. And so we have a covenant, a new covenant. And a covenant is only broken by death. And this covenant, again, he said, will never be broken again because of the life now that is living, the hope that has been given to us through him. And so this is what Christ has done for us. He's brought a living hope into our life. And so the dead things today can live again. The impossible situations, maybe they're hurting, maybe the tough times, that maybe what you carried out of 2019 into this new decade, man, there's life available. There is hope that is here for you, man. And I love it. It's so beautiful, man. His name's Jesus. Amen. Hope is living. Tell your neighbor, man, you got to understand this. You got to understand this. Hope is living. Amen. Hope is living. Amen. It'll never die again. I love it. Second thing is this. Hope is a connector. Hope is a connector. God hit me with this, man. I've never seen this, and I've been in this thing a little while now. I had never seen the connection that was here until, again, just getting ready from praying and going into study for this series. But I want you, if you would, to look at 1 Corinthians. And how many knows what chapter that is? 1 Corinthians. Love. Some of y'all read the Bible. Amen. That's cool. That's good. Amen. That's the love chapter. Come on. Amen. And it is. It's a powerful chapter. And then the focus is love. But have you noticed some things about 1 Corinthians 13? I want us to read one verse from there. Flip over if you would. Verse 13 of chapter 13, 1 Corinthians. Let's look at what happens. This is connection here that we see. It says in verse 13, and now abide faith, hope, love. These three, but the greatest of these is love. Come on, somebody. Now, I love that. Literally, and I'm not just using that word love lightly. I love it. It's so beautiful. Amen. And I love it. I love the fact, man, that I believe we're getting love in this house. I wish I could just like the stories that I hear from people who walk through these doors. I wish I could like share every one of those with you. The conversations that I have, like when people that, I mean, who would say, I pulled in the parking lot and I felt love. I mean, I walked in the door of this place for the first time and it was like, man, love wrecked my life. And I mean, it is like I encounter something. I hear that so often, that word love, like so used so many times. People do say, man, I've been to other churches. I've been in church my whole life. But man, there's a love in this place, man. And it's just beautiful. That happens because of you. That happens because you live this out. And I think it's so beautiful that like we're getting love. And I feel like, man, there is like, it's something that we're understanding it even more. I hear words like, man, the love is here. I hear words like, man, this place is just real. I don't feel like I have to put a mask on in this church. You know, I can just be honest with myself. I can just be real. And man, I can just be truthful about who I am and what God's doing in my life. I love that. And I think, again, we're getting a handle on it, and it's beautiful, and it's incredible how much I believe, again, God is revealing his love to us. I think we're getting it. One of the other things I believe we're getting is this. I believe we're getting an understanding more and more every day of faith. I just do, man. Again, it's the vision behind the name, man. Faith Renewed, that this is a place that maybe your faith's been beat down by life. Maybe it's been beat down by circumstances and church, people, whatever it may be. But the faith can be renewed. And we do this, we come together. Bible says that faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word. And so as the word of God goes forth, man, faith comes to you, man. You're like, man, I like this, man. Faith is real. I can believe there's more to this thing. But I don't know if you see the connection between faith and love. It's hope. And this is one of the things that the enemy is after so much in your life. He wants to get you to the place to where like, yeah, I have faith. I believe, yeah, God can do it. But maybe he won't. Come on, think for a second. You don't have to raise your hand, but how many times has that happened? I believe he can, but will he? You know what the enemy's after? He's after your hope because he sees there's a connection there between the two. And he's after it so hard. And we know that, again, without the faith, it's impossible to please God. Love, again, a beautiful thing that God has given us. And it's the greatest of these. But listen, this hope that is there, it is a connecting between the two. Matter of fact, you see it in Hebrews 11, man, this faith chapter. Look at Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. This is so cool, man. I love this. Hebrews 11, verse 1 says this. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Listen, faith is the substance of things hoped for. Did you catch that? Listen, this word substance, it literally means this. It's a setting or placing under. It is a putting under substructure or a foundation. So this is what this means. It means that faith is the foundation, but the material that it's made of is hope. Faith is the foundation, but the material that it's made of is hope. And it's why the enemy is after your hope, not to somehow just do this, to get you to doubt, yeah, God may can do that, but will he? To say somehow like, man, well, I don't know if he's gonna do this for me. Satan is after your hope. He's out to destroy it because he sees the connection that it brings. Hebrews goes on to say in chapter 6, verse 19 and 20, it says this, this hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which enters the presence behind the veil, where the forerunner has entered for us, even Jesus, having become high priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek. It could be a series, but man, how just, again, what is spoken in this moment that the high priest, again, would go behind the veil into the place, into the presence of God, that not everyone can go. But listen, now hope does this for us. Hope connects us now to the one behind the veil. Hope connects us to the one to have a beautiful, beautiful, perfect relationship, a connection of anchoring of hope. And I don't know, man, I like to get out on my kayak. I like to fish. I like to spend time on the water. And man, there are a lot of times, man, I get into a good place, man, and maybe getting a few bites and the waves and the situations and stuff going on begin to push me away. I have to reach in behind me, get out my anchor, drop it down, and just hang out there for a while, man. Listen, this is what hope does for us. It connects us to him. You know what the enemy's after this year? This decade is after your hope. He's trying to get you to do this. He's trying to get you to leave this place with some faith, experiencing God's love, but the connection between the two that links it, he's trying to steal that from you.
That's so good.
So hope is a connector, man. The last and final one is this today, and man, I love it. Hope is in you. Come on, man. This is good because hope now is in you. So this is not like I'm out there trying to find some hope. This is something that is within us. And so that God has given us. Colossians 1:27 says it this way. To them that God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of the mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you. The hope of glory. It's Christ in you. The hope of glory. So listen, this is why, again, that the enemy is after it so hard. He wants you to miss the personal relationship value this year. He wants you to miss that in those moments of where it feels like that you're hopeless, man, will I make this, man, that you say, no, wait a minute. I'm not trying to get hope. I'm trying to get it out. Come on, man. I'm trying to just release it because it is in me. It is there. And this is something that the Bible shows us, man, that unbelievers don't have. And so it's why this morning, man, that if you haven't surrendered your life to Jesus, that you say yes to him. Because right now, and it's just the truth, it's just the reality behind it, unbelievers don't have the same hope within them that we do. Ephesians says it this way. He says in verse 11, he says, therefore, remember that you once Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision, by what is called the circumcision made by flesh by hands, that all the time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world, but now in Christ Jesus in you, now in Christ Jesus, you were once who were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. Come on, man. This is in you. And this is something that we have. And so even, I mean, it's just times where, man, we come, and even where those who know Christ and where we have moments where we have to go through difficulties of being separated from them on this earth when they leave us. And it's what the Bible says here, that, man, we don't have to grieve as those who have no hope. It's a different for the believer. It is different for the hope that is within us. I've been in situations. I've preached messages. I've preached funeral services of those like men who have it and those who don't. There's a different feeling. There is something there, man. This is what we have today. It is a hope that is within us, and his name is Christ. And I love it, man. There's a story in Mark chapter 9, and man, this story is like cool. I'm not gonna read it, man, but I love this story. Well, we see, man, that there's a guy who had come to Jesus. There's a father who brings his son to Jesus, and this son had been tormented. This son, man, had been so just bound up by evil spirits, had been so tormented, and Jesus comes to him, and he asks him this question. He said, how long has this been happening? Guy answers me, says this, man, since he was a child. Imagine, again, we don't know the age of him, but we know, again, as a father and a son still there, that the relationship's still clear. And he comes to him, and Jesus says, how long has this been happening since he was a child? And Jesus, he makes a statement to him. He says, man, if you can believe, he said, all things are possible to him that believe. I've never seen it until like then, preparation for this message, the way I feel like, man, something God is saying here that I missed. If you know the story, this is how the guy answers him. This is how he says to Jesus, he said, Lord, I believe, but help my, anybody?
Unbelief.
And so I'm like, what? Hold on. Do you believe or do you not? You know what I'm saying? Yes or no? You're a believer or you're an unbeliever? Because we can't do this. Bible says, man, we're unstable. You know, a double-minded man is unstable all his ways. But I don't think that's what was going on here. I used to see this guy in that light, man. I used to see this dad in that light, but I'm like, man, that's not what was going on there. I don't believe that was a story at all. I believe, man, he got to Jesus. He's like, Jesus, I need you to heal my son. I need you to set him free. And Jesus looks at him and said, man, do you believe? He was like, I believe. Help my unbelief. I don't know. I feel like this is what was going on in that guy's heart that day. I feel like he was saying this to Jesus. I believe you can. I don't know if you will. God wants to erase in 2020. I don't know if he will. He wants to erase that from your mindset, that you do this year, that hope rises up in you, that hope is released from your life, that when you read a promise of God, no longer do you say, I believe he can, but will. No, you must say, it is my promise. I believe, Lord, I believe, Lord, I believe. That's what we're looking for. That's what Jesus is doing in this year. I'm going to tell you, this is a time, this is a release of that. And I want you to do this, if you would. I want you to stand to your feet, and I want to read one last passage to you, man. And I love this verse, man. I'm declaring this verse over your life this year, this decade. Get ready for this. Romans 15, 13. It's on the screen. He says this, now may the God of hope, get ready, fill you with all joy and peace. Yeah. In believing that you may abound in hope. How? By the power of the Holy Spirit. Oh, man. I want you, if you would, to just close your eyes. Raise your hands right now, if you would. Oh, man. And I just want to read and release this over you again. Yeah, I just want to read and release this over you right now. Father, right now, just declare this now. May the God of hope, this living, connecting hope that is within us, God, Lord, fill today with all joy, all peace, and believing, Lord, not unbelief, Lord, but with full hope and expectation, God, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Wow. Father, I thank you right now that hope's rising up in this house, Lord. It's being released in this room today, God. It's being released, Lord, to those who are listening, Lord, through live stream and podcast, God. It's being released in their lives today, God. I'm praying for an overflow of it, God. Hope in us, Lord. Yeah, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Yeah, let it be released in this room. Oh, man, thank you, Jesus. Heads still bowed, eyes still closed. I want to ask you this morning, listen, I said that today, listen, if you're a believer, the hope is in you. As an unbeliever, as those who have not yet surrendered their life to Christ, we don't have that hope, but it's here. It's available. And it's real. And it's for you today. So this is what I don't want you to go into 2020 without the hope of glory in you. I don't want you to enter this decade without the hope of glory flowing in your life, working in you, moving in your life, so that when you look back, man, if God has not yet come, that we can look back over the next decade and say, man, I'm going into that decade more excited. Why? Because I've got to know and realize even more, God, that you're a God of hope. You're a God of life today, and it's living and real and active today. If you haven't surrendered your life to Christ, in just a moment, I want to give you an opportunity to say yes to Jesus. I'm going to be in this altar, and I'd love to pray with you, introduce you to Jesus. We have folks that would pray with you in our care room in the back, wherever that may be, but just listen, I want you to say yes to Jesus. He's a living hope. And he's the connector. He's the builder. He's the one who anchors us to that promise. And so today, so strong. This has been so heavy on my heart this week that there's going to be a release of hope today in your life. It's going to prepare you into this new decade, man, with a different mindset. Not I know it can, but I know it will. Yeah. So just right now, wherever you're in this room, just listen. If there's an area of your life where you just need a release of hope today, I want you just right now, just not even waiting, just to go ahead and just step out and just come, and we're going to pray together with you. And this worship team is going to release this song in this atmosphere. I asked this personally for them to sing this because, again, I just saw God, man. I just feel like he was just showing me the spirit that he was going to be releasing it as they set this in the atmosphere. That Jesus Christ is our living hope. And it's going to be released in this room right now. If you need hope for any area of your life, I invite you to come. If you need prayer for any reason at all, physical, emotional, financial, spiritual, whatever, we invite you to come. Prayer team, come. And as they come, listen, we're going to gather together. We're going to pray. And the living hope is going to be released in this house today.
Thanks again for listening to this message. We hope it's been a source of encouragement for you. If you need prayer, would like to support this ministry through your financial giving, or just want to learn more about Faith Renewed, please stop by faithrenewed.org.